the suicide of a king. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle was sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, "Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon him. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. And so Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men, that same day. First Samuel 31. It says there in verse 4, where Saul asked his armor bearer to kill him, and he wouldn't do it. So Saul took his sword, held it up, and fell on it. He committed suicide, killed himself. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, all his men, that same day together. Saul was the first king of Israel. First ever. You remember that the people wanted a king like all the other nations. God had been the one that brought them up out of Egypt. God had been the one that spoke to them through Moses. God had been the one who protected them and provided them and fought their enemies. Led them by fire by night and covered them by fire in the back at night and a cloud in the day. Gave them prophets, gave them a tabernacle, gave them a priesthood, gave them everything. God Himself reigned over them. God was the one that they looked to. But they said, "We don't want God anymore. We want a king, like every other nation's got a king." And so they chose them a king. They chose one by the people. God didn't choose him. When God chose a king, He chose one after His own heart. He chose David. And they wanted a king, so they rejected God and they rejected His prophet, Samuel. Now from the time that he went to Gilgal, he'd been in the king for about a year and a half or two, and he offered a sacrifice there because he was tired of waiting on Saul. He entered into the priesthood. And that, from that time until this time, had been about 37 years that he offered that sacrifice up there, entered into the priesthood, and he died this day. This day. And he died. And you know, here's the thing. He chose darkness rather than light. He chose to walk in his own way instead of the Word of God. He chose to despise the one whom God had chosen and seek to kill him. He walked in darkness when there was a holy, merciful, and gracious God. But he lived without God and he died without God. That's the way this man died. And I want to go through a few things and look at this man up to the time that he dies. Look back over with me here in chapter 28. Chapter 28. And you know, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It would be a horrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And if you don't know God, and if you don't know Christ, 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel 28. The first thing we see about Saul is this. In verse 5, "And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, He was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. He had a trembling heart. And I tell you, if he'd have knew God, he wouldn't have been that way. See, he saw a great army coming out to make war. And when he looked at that great, big, huge army, and all the confidence that army had, Samuel was dead. The spirit of power and comfort had forsaken him. God had forsaken him. David was still a fugitive, and he couldn't get to David. And here's Saul. He's poor. He's desolate. He was self-confident one time, and now his very heart trembled when he faced what he was fixing to face in this army. And he said, what in the world am I going to do? Oh, I've got 3,000 men. And I've got Israel. But they're not warriors. And I tell you what, his heart greatly trembled. And I know the thing that I read something, I read it to Shirley this morning, if I'm not mistaken. That a man can sin. All men can sin. The devil can sin and never bother him. A man can sin and his conscience not bother him. But when a Christian sins, he grieves over his sin. And when a Christian sins, he confesses it before the Lord. Because he would not live a day without God. And this man lived without God. And his heart trembled. And this is a sad thing about it. Like all those things that I read to you, those people's heart do not tremble before God. They've got a God of their imagination. But I know this, without God's grace, our hearts would fail us.
Yeah.
Our hearts would fail us. Fail us for fear. We'd be afraid. We'd have great fear. I know Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Our own wisdom, our own strength cannot sustain us when we're in trouble. We have to have the grace of God. We have to have the power of God. We have to have the comfort of God. When we don't know what to do, when we don't know how to get out of the situation we're in, we have to fall on God. And the only thing that would cause our hearts to tremble is the thought that we might one day walk away from Him. That scares me to death. That troubles me. But I know our Lord says this, without me, you cannot do nothing. You know what nothing is? Scott Richards says a donut hole. You know, when God created the world, you know what existed? Nothing. And He said, let there be, and there was. That's all it took. And then, so he had a trembling heart. Then look down here in verse 6, talk about this man and what led him to his death. What led him to commit suicide? What led him? What was the things that happened in his life that brought him down to the time that he would commit suicide? And then look in verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Not by dreams, not by Urim, not by prophets. Oh, he look, it was a vain inquiry. Would he inquire to the Lord? Here he is seeking God, and God answered him not. I was looking today for a message I preached years ago, and I don't know exactly, it was one of the minor prophets, where God was silent. God was silent. He wouldn't hear. He said, they called on me, and I'm not going to listen. And I think I found it. I don't know if I did or not, but it's in Zechariah chapter 7. And Malachi is the last book of the Bible. Zechariah is right before Malachi. And so Zechariah chapter 7. But anyway, I do know this, that the Scriptures tells us that men, when God calls on them, and God does something for them and they don't listen, God says they'll call on me and I won't answer. They'll seek me and they won't find me. They'll cry unto me, but I won't hear their cry. And look what it said here in verse 12 of Zechariah chapter 7. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass that as he cried, they would not hear. So they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. So that's what happens. Men, God gives a man, he calls on him, he gives him his word, he sends preachers, he gives them a Bible, and they leave it on their desk, or they leave it on their coffee table, or leave it on their bedside. And they do that, and God says, I speak to you, and I call on you, and I cry on you. But yet, when I do that, and you never do it to me, and your heart gets hard, your ears get stopped up, and you said, one of these days you're going to call on me, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just turn around. I ain't going to pay any attention to you. I'm not going to pay attention to you. And let me read another one to you. This is a frightening thing. And this is, you know, it's going to be awful for people that we know, for our families. It's going to be awful for our children with all the gospel that they've heard, all the prayers that's been prayed, all the tears that's been shed, all the witnessing that's been done. If they do not someday turn to God in Christ, it'll be awful. I can't imagine a worse thing. Huh? But look what he says here. You know, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Now that's what happened to Saul. Saul chose to do things his way. God told him what to do, and he would not do it. You find so many times in so many places, Samuel was supposed to come and meet him. And Samuel waited and waited and waited and didn't get there. Saul got tired of waiting. Because Samuel was going to come up and offer sacrifices. And they was going to worship the Lord. Saul got tired of it. Got weary of it. Next thing you know, he said, bring me a calf. Bring me a sacrifice. And he started slaying sacrifices. And then when Samuel walked up, said, what in the world do you think you're doing? You have disobeyed the commandment of the Lord. You're not supposed, that's not your job. That's not your office. You're a king, not a priest. And because of that, God's going to take the kingdom away from you and give it to somebody else. Told him flat-footed. And I tell you, beloved, it'd be awful. I do know this. God turned over in Deuteronomy 25, you know, that he can cause the heavens to be brass. And when these heavens get to be brass, it's pretty tough, ain't it? Has it ever happened to you? You ever called on him and feel like the heavens is brass? Your prayers don't get above you here, just above, all's a voice, you just hear your own voice. Well, that's what happened to Saul. And that's why Paul said, let us take heed. Let us take heed, lest there be in us an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. And I've often said this, there's a traitor in the castle. There's a traitor in the castle. And you know who he is? He's us. We got a traitor in here. And he'll be with us until we leave this world. We got a traitor in here. Huh? And oh, now listen to his despairing cry. What brought him? He had a trembling heart. He was afraid. He had a fearful heart and a silent heaven. What an awful thing to be. A silent heaven. And then listen to his despairing cry over here in 11. in verse 11. And then he went over to the witch of Endor. He went to this familiar spirit, this woman who thought she could call up people, speak to the dead. Then said the woman, "Who shall I bring up unto thee?" And he said, "Bring me up Samuel." Since he finds the door of heaven shut, and his heart's scared to death and trembling, he said, "I know what I'll do. I'll go and I'll find somebody that'll bring up Samuel. I'll ask Samuel one last time." He turned in desperation to witchcraft. And I do know this, when God blesses, nobody can curse. And when God curses, nobody can bless. If he opens a door, nobody can shut it. When he shuts a door, nobody can open it. And oh, I tell you what, he told her, "Bring me up Samuel." He wanted one more time to speak to God's prophet, the one who had power with God. And I don't know what he thinks Samuel was going to tell him other than what he had already told him. What's he going to say to him? Is he going, you think Samuel's going to give him a good encouraging message? But no, he said, "Oh, listen. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice." And then look what Samuel said against him. Oh, he's in a mess. He goes from trembling heart to seeking the Lord. Heaven's silent. God won't speak to him. Heaven's shut up to him. So I know what I'll do. I'll go to a witch. I'll go find out what the witch has got to say. I'll go find out. You know, they talk about good witches and bad witches. There ain't no such thing as a good witch. You know, and what there was in the Weird of Oz, that, well, you know, there's one in white, there's one in black. But that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. But oh my. But he wanted to talk to Samuel. He wanted to speak to Samuel one more time. Maybe Samuel will give me some help. Maybe Samuel will give me some comfort. Maybe Samuel will tell me what to do. And then look what he says there in verse 15. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed. God's departed from me, and he don't answer me anymore. And I've called thee that thou mayest make it known unto me what I'll do." What should I do? What should I do? Since God wouldn't answer him. So he goes to the witch. And you know what Samuel said to him? Samuel told him in verse 16, "The Lord's departed from you and he's become your enemy." You know, God is either your best friend or your worst enemy. No middle ground. No middle ground. And I tell you, he told him, down in verse 19, look what he told him. Well, in verse 16, he said this, "The Lord's departed from you, become your enemy." And he said in verse 18, you know why? "Because you obeyed not the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore the Lord hath done this unto thee this day." Now he tells him exactly what's going to happen to him. Tells him that he's going to die, and he's going to die tomorrow. "Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me." They're going to be down in the, they're going to die, be dead like I am. "The Lord also shall deliver the host of Philistines, Israel, into the hands of the Philistines." So he looked for comfort and assurance, and all he got was a message of judgment. He looked for comfort, he got a message of judgment. He disobeyed God when he offered sacrifices. And because he tired of waiting on Samuel to offer sacrifice, and then he spared Amalekite. God said, "You go down there, and I want every Amalekite, everything in Amalek and Amalek to die. I want everybody to die. I want nothing to come out of that place." Well, he brought the king with him. found the best sheep, found the best goats, found the best cattle. He said, well, we'll take all these back to Israel. Samuel come to him and said, what meaneth this bleeding of the sheep? He said, the people made me. The people made me. Oh my. And that's why Samuel told him, obedience is better than sacrifice. And that's what our Lord meant. He said, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. I don't need your sacrifices. I've already gave you a sacrifice. I gave you my son. I provided myself a lamb. I provided myself a sacrifice. I provided a sacrifice for you. I heard somebody say that Christ, you know, that the gospel's for believing sinners. I'm going to tell you something. Because Christ died for us, why we become believers. The gospel doesn't make us believers. God makes us believers when He gives us life. But people say, well, Christ died for those who will believe. Well, I tell you what, we only believe because He did die. Right? But oh my, no wonder David said like this, search me, oh God. Search me, oh God. And if there be any evil way in me, save me, deliver me. Is that something that you do? Lord, search me. Please let me know. If there's something in me that keeps me from knowing you, trusting you, or when I get to the end of the way, there's a bad spot in my heart. If there's something in my soul, if there's something in my life that will keep me from spending eternity with you, let me know it now. Don't let me get on my deathbed and all of a sudden find out that I have something bad wrong, a rotten spot in my heart and soul. So search me. That's the last anything most people want, for God to search them. But that's what every believer wants. Stick your finger in my heart. Stick your hand in my heart. Take your eye and look inside me. Get in my mind. Get in my heart. Get in my soul. Get in my will. Get in my understanding. Get in my affections. Get in my emotions. Get in my will. Get in every part of me. If there's any part that I'm holding back from you, save me from it, oh Lord. And I tell you, Saul didn't do that. And then look over here in chapter 31. Oh, I tell you, there was a way that he started in the end of all of the things about his life and what brought him down to where he committed suicide. Look at his tragic, tragic end. You know, it says there in verse 1, now the Philistines fought against Israel. And the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard. They took out after Saul and was following hard upon his sons. And listen to this, he had three sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan. You remember that wonderful covenant that Jonathan and David had? David mourned over Jonathan. You'll find it over here in 2 Samuel chapter 2. He mourned in chapter 1, he mourned and mourned over Saul, Jonathan. Oh, he loved Jonathan. And then it says, and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons, that's three of his three sons died that day. And the battle was so against Saul. And the archers, they saw him and they shot and they hit him. And he was wounded, bad, bad wounded. Saul said to his armors, draw your sword and plunge it through me. Kill me, lest they come and abuse me and torture me and mock me. But his armor bearer said, I'm not going to do it. Therefore Saul took his own sword, fell down on it, died. His armor bar, Saul was dead, fell upon his sword. Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer. And all the last battle, and this is what happened. All the things that led him to this place, it happened just exactly like Samuel told him it would. And it's going to happen just exactly like the Lord tells us it's going to happen. It's going to come out just exactly the way God says it's going to come out. It come out this way for Samuel. I mean for Saul. The last battle against this man who rejected God and the Word of God was death. Judgment. Awful judgment. But there was another king. Let me tell you about another king that died. He put over his cross. Pilate did. King of the Jews. They said, don't say he's king of the Jews. Say he said. He said, what I've said, I've said. And there was another king. This king died. But he did not die a tragic death. He did not die because he did anything wrong. He did not die because he made a mistake in his life. He died though he obeyed every word of God from the all for throughout eternity. And when he come to earth, he says, the words that I speak, they're not mine, but his is sin. I and my Father are one. And I tell you, this other king, he died, but he did not die for himself. And now I tell you something, I'll tell you something else. Every son whom he died for, died with him the same day. Our Lord Jesus went into battle. He went into battle. He went into battle against sin. Did he win? He went into battle against God's justice that said he will by no means clear the guilty. And he said the soul that sinneth it shall die. And so he went into battle against God's justice that demanded our death. Did he satisfy it? Did God's sword of justice pull out and plunge into the heart of the Son of God? Arise, O sword, and smite my fellow, the shepherd of the sheep. And I tell you why, he went to battle against death. He went to battle against hell. And I tell you what, did he win? Yes, he won. I tell you what, when our Lord Jesus Christ said, it is finished, everything that was needed to be done for us was done that one day. I'm telling you, as all of Saul's sons died with him that day, all of Christ's sons was crucified with him. All of Christ's sons was buried with him. All of Christ's children was raised up together with him. And when he went to glory, sit down in his seat on the right hand of God, the scripture says we are seated together with him. Oh, Saul, he died because of his life. Christ died because of our life. We were the ones in darkness. He's the one who brought the light. We're the ones who dead. He's the one who's brought the light. We were the ones without God, and he brought us nigh by his blessed blood. And I thank God, bless his holy name, that what he did, so are we. What he did, we did. Our union is so close with him. So close with him. That whom he did foreknow. Who's them? That's us. What did he do? He also did predestinate. And then whom he did predestinate, what did he do then? He called them. What did he do after he called them? He justified them. What did he do after he justified them? He glorified them. What are we going to say then to these these things. If God be for us, who's going to be against us? That king committed suicide. Our king died a victor. No man took his life from it. He laid it down. He said, they said to him, he saved others, but he can't save himself. He saved us, and he couldn't save himself unless he saved us with him. Amen? Oh, my. Our Father, our Father, the precious, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your blessed mercy and grace given us in Christ before the world ever began. Thank you that we've got a king, a victorious king, a great and glorious king, a king that fought all our battles and won them all, the captain of our salvation, made perfect. And Father, we're made perfect in him. Made perfect in him. Made complete in him. And we bless you and praise you for that. God bless these dear saints as they go their way. Please strengthen them, encourage them. And again, we pray for Daryl, Bill, Dortha, Bruce and Joe, Bruce and Sandy, for Pam, Rick and Helen. And Lord, if there's anybody we forgot, we ask you forgive us. But Lord, we do pray for them. Our hearts go out and our prayers go unto thee for them. We look to you for all things. We trust you for everything. And Lord, it's a wonderful, blessed thing to know that you know us. It's your knowledge of us that gives us assurance. We bless you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. There's a song. You know, I know we got to know God. But I tell you what, I get more assurance out of him knowing me than me knowing him. There's something I was looking at the other day. Let's see if this is it. Yeah, 267. Let's turn to this, and it's four little verses, and we'll sing this, and you'll be at liberty to go. That's to majestic sweetness, I believe. See you Sunday, God willing.